Hello and welcome. Dev 1 version 6 Excalibur has been released. Let's go to their web page here. So it says Debian, Dev 1. That's an honest mistake. Excalibur 6 stable release has been released, dear friends and software freedom lovers. It is with great pleasure that we announced the new release. There is installation instructions, documentation over here, resources, support, release notes, which I already have opened. Introduction, new in this release, merged user in compulsory, getting Dev 1, upgrading Dev 1, notes on specific packages, reduced support. To be honest, this is just Debian 13 changes. So let's go ahead and install it immediately. Let's go to my, this is my T480 ThinkPad here. It is plugged in via the HDMI interface to my recording machine over here. I have like two keyboards, two mouses. So let's just go with the regular installer here. Okay. Press enter to boot. Good. Okay. Choose your language here. Choose your country here. Let's go to the... Where is Europe? Oh, other. Okay. Let's go to... Let's go to Poland. Where's Poland? Let's go to Serbia. Yes. Let's go to Serbia. United States. Whatever. Keyboard layout, this is fine. Well, this is just net install from Debian, right? So nothing out of the ordinary here. If you're thinking about a really stable distribution that will basically carry you on for the following 2 years and give you the least trouble, that's most probably Debian. Debian Trixie, for that matter, Debian 13. However, if you, for any reason whatsoever, need your Debian system or whatever your Linux install not to have systemd, but you want to go with something that gives you more freedom, at least in terms of your choices, you can go ahead with Dev 1 because Dev 1 is pretty much just Debian with the systemd kind of removed, right? Let's go ahead and install this root password. We don't need that. Let's go with dart here and more. Okay, there we go. So what Dev 1 is going to give to you is basically a tiny bit more freedom than what Debian does for you. Let's just use the logical volume management and use the entire disk. I have like 1 terabyte available, so let's just use all of this. And this will be perfectly fine. Write the changes. Absolutely yes. And we are good to go. We are good to go. Yeah, as I said, pretty much the clone of the experience of the Debian that you usually get, minus the systemd part. If you enjoy such things, then Dev 1 could be a really good fit for you. Whether or not the implementation that the Dev 1 team does with SysV in it, with other two that are bundled, that kind of depends because I don't have active experience with Dev 1. I have installed it a couple of times, used it for a little bit. It was even one of my servers for a while, and it works, right? The scripts are fine. The init scripts are fine. To be honest, SysV init is actually still supported within Debian itself, so the So Devon team doesn't have to like go out of their way a lot to make this functional, but they still need to do a couple of things to make this whole experience as pleasurable as possible for you. You know, so there is the seat daemon and stuff like that. Archive Mirror Country, yeah, we can do that. We can do that. Should the speed of the download should be fine. So basically what this comes down to, it's like a pre-configured system for you. I mean, you can use Debian with CSV in it if you really try hard to make it work for you, because it's no longer maintained as such, as, and you're not supposed to do that. But if you're a developer and you know what you're doing, you absolutely can convert your Debian into like the days of the old CSV in its system, and it will work, you know, as much as you're capable of doing it yourself. If not, then Devon will do everything for you. So this is pretty much what this is. Participate in the package usage survey. This goes to devon.org. Let's participate. I mean, I'm gonna wipe this anyway after this video is fully recorded. So what we are going to do is we are going to choose the desktop environment. So by default, Debian pre-selects GNOME for you, and I'm usually a KDE guy, but since XFCE is selected by default, this means the Devon team have probably invested a little bit more effort into testing this particular environment. So let's just have it out of the box as the developers have imagined it. And just to be on the safe side, I'm going to add the SSH server. And let's continue and see where this takes us. So as I said, this is a net install image. It's about 550 megabytes, I think. And the reason why it's downloading the files now is because the net install is so small that it needs to download all of the remainder of the stuff, you know. So if you want to, you can download a larger image, which is like 4 gigabytes. It will probably not fit on a 4 gigabyte USB stick. I'm pretty sure it will require the first next size, which is probably 8 gigabytes. So have that in mind if you're downloading the full installer. That one doesn't need the internet connection for the default installation as imagined by the Devon team. So have that in mind. Net install is perfect for anyone who wants to have the image ready for reinstallation over and over. And it is just going to pull the latest files from the internet whenever you are doing the fresh installation. So it is what it is. With the full image, you can do the same. You just let it go onto the internet and it will pull all of the latest images. Here we go. The packages have been prepared, installed, and this is the moment where you need to choose your so-called init freedom. Well, the recommended one is CSV init, because that one has been in Debian for as long as Debian exists. The other two are basically not recommended, so let's go with the default one. Okay, and after choosing your init freedom, let's just continue with the reboot of the system, and let's go and boot for the first time into our new Devon installation. So there we go, shutting down the system, booting the laptop from scratch, your BIOS image, and GRUB is going to be the next thing that pops up. There we go, a nice little image. I'm just going to leave it be to count down and automatically boot. Kernel 6.12.48, if I managed to see that correctly, on the day of the installation. Starting up Armor, that's good. Also, Pipewire is now installed by default. Here we go. Unfortunately, the login manager, Slim, It has shown the log screen on my laptop screen and not on my external screen, which is being recorded for you. So I had to log in where my laptop is and come back here to mirror the displays back. It is what it is. Let's go ahead and walk through the XFC for a quick little bit. So the default terminal is here. The file manager tuner, right? Tuner is actually nice. It's clean, like low resources. I prefer to use it on the window managers, actually. This exact tuner from XFCE, so that's good. Mail reader, nothing has been installed by default. Okay, web browser, which one is default? It is Firefox. Okay. What do we have here? Accessories, application finder, bulk rename, clipboard manager, mousepad, screenshot manager, task manager, tuner, file manager, CD burning software. Let's go with task manager. Okay, this is pretty rudimental, but it does the job nevertheless. Can we modify the way that CPU is being shown? Show all processes. No, that's not what I want. Columns, group CPU. Did I want that actually? Group CPU, that's not what I thought it would be. Okay, let's turn it off. Let's go with LibreOffice image viewer, Xsane internet, just Firefox ESR, media player, volume controls, the rest of the office is here. We can start the writer for the first time. Okay, the theme looks good, it fits the rest of the XFC. Let's just close this for now. What was it there? Print settings, sensor viewer, synaptics package manager, some more terminals here about XFC. So it is the latest version for 0.20. XFC releases a stable version every 2 years. So here we are with the latest version, which is fine as well. Of course, we are running X11 session. Because XFC doesn't support Wayland just yet, at least not in the grand way. What else can I show you here with XFC? Nothing particular, I think. If you go back to settings, we have like workspaces settings. You can imagine what that is. Settings for the window manager, style, theme, default. Clear looks, a little bit of different shapes and sizes. We can leave it at default. Keyboard settings, focus model, focus follows mouse. That is fine in some cases. Window snapping and stuff like that. Okie dokie. Let's go back to the system. No, actually settings. This is where I have set up the screen mirroring between my two displays. With advanced, we have some profiles. We don't want to change that at the moment. Accessibility settings, enable assistive technologies for people who need this. Sticky keys for the keyboard, slow keys, bounce keys, mouse emulation, find your cursor. These are all basics. Clipboard manager appearance. What is under appearance? Okay, let's go with Advaita, maybe. It is a little bit more modern, definitely. Let's leave it at, actually, maybe we can go with Advaita Dark. But then the, it's a little bit off. It's a little bit off. This one is better. Let's leave it as is. Settings, mouse and touchpad, behavior, theme, white mouse, black mouse. Let's have it black. Settings, notifications, power manager. So this is a laptop after all. System tray icon, let's enable that one. System, choose what happens when you close the lid. Battery plugged in. Okay, when inactive for a certain time, do this or do that. Plugged in, devices. I have two batteries in this laptop. One is fully charged, another one is almost fully charged. That is also fine. Okay, let's go with more settings here. Settings editor. Removable drives and media. Synaptics, text editor, tuner, preferences, volume control, window manager. It's all good. It's all good. Let's close this one and let's close this one. Let's go ahead and open this terminal. Can I increase the font size? I don't know which is the shortcut to do that. Zoom in, control plus plus. I pressed the function key by accident. Okay. That makes sense. Let's increase this window size. Uname. Okay. Linux Dev 1 6 12 48 Debian 13. You're definitely getting Debian original kernel here. What else can I show you? LS block. This is what was installed for me. It is what it is, right? Can I show you anything else? Yeah, I guess it's init.d. So here you will find all of your CCV init services like in the days of the old, of course. And if you go back, you can go to init. So there are your run levels. And if we go to the fifth one, which is probably which we are using, right? Oops, sorry. I don't like this keyboard at all. Here you will see your running service. The setup services, the order which they are booting in. And if you go with service and then status all, and maybe I don't need pipe service. Okay, sorry. There we go. I do need pipe. Okay, there we go. App Armor, Avahi, printer services, Crontab. Of course you need Crontab when you don't have systemd. Dbus, there we go. E-login D, this one is pretty significant in this use case. Network manager, you can uninstall that if you don't want modern network management. CND, Seat, Daemon, Slim as the login manager, SSH, which I have installed, and pretty much what is running right now. So that's pretty much going to be it from me in today's video. I wasn't planning on making a deep dive on Dev 1 because practically this is just Debian, you know. It is built on a very, very stable base. It will give you pretty much a peace of mind for the next 2 years. If you don't need the GNOME, which might give you a little bit of trouble if you are trying to go backwards with some of the technologies that GNOME nowadays relies on, you'll be fine. Use KDE, use XFCE, XFCE, or any other desktop environment that doesn't quite hang tight onto the systemd, you'll be good, right? And if you enjoy doing things the old way, I think Dev 1 is going to carry you for quite a while. Yet they are a team which is, you know, a little bit passionate about what they do, and they're not doing a sloppy business. I mean, technically, it doesn't require a huge deal of effort just to install CCV init on Debian. That's not the thing for which you're coming here. You can do that on your own. But the maintenance of the entire system and making sure that all of the modern stuff that is kind of starting to rely on modern services like systemd and the other things that kind of are intertwined, you know, like starting things through the systemd units instead of via crontab and stuff like that. It is a little bit of effort on DevOps team, you know, and they do deserve a little bit of thank you from you if you are using their operating system. So if you can help me out, and if you're going to use this, go ahead, go into their chat room or something and give them your thanks. And I hope you enjoyed this video. If you did, you can subscribe, like, and maybe even become a member of the channel or support me on Ko-fi. If none of this is interesting to you or you don't want to have anything to do with me, then maybe just enjoy the list of all the good people that are actively supporting me. They're going to be on the screen any moment now.